done fell right down that rabbit hole. So reality is questionable. Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on a show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder mayhem tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past, history that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you're by yourself, these two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right. Hey.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Hall, and their dog Ninja.
Sometimes their cat, Freddy, but never the ferrets.
What's good, what's good, what's good? This your boy Marcus Harvey from Ghost Brothers.
What's happening, man? It's your boy Daylon Spratt from Ghost Brothers.
And this is Jawan Mass from the Ghost Brothers. We like to give a big shout out to the Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Hillbilly Horror Stories, where your stories is from a hillbilly and it's kind of horror-y, because it's Hillbilly Horror Stories.
That was terrible, Daylon.
Yeah. But I tried.
Tune into the podcast. We up in here.
Ghost Brothers.
Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 399 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
Did I hear a niner in there?
I knew you was going to say that.
I'm Tracy.
All right, Tracy. Obviously, we want to start off thanking all of our military and civil servants all over the world. There's chaos going on in the Middle East, and I know the American soldiers and Air Force and stuff are kind of tied up in that right now. We're just letting you guys know we're thinking about you, and thank you for everything you do on a daily basis. You never know when that call is going to come.
That's very true. It's a very sad situation. We just keep you in our prayers, and thank you for watching out for us, and hope that you will be safe. And prayers again for you guys every single day.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I want to point out that there's a lot of people struggling right now. We get calls, we get texts, we get messages every single day from somebody who needs to talk. And literally, that's it. They just need to talk to somebody. You just have no idea how therapeutic that is until you've done it. I mean, we've all been there. How many times have you did something that maybe you felt a little guilty about, and you get it off your chest and you're like, wow, I feel so much better.
Right.
Just for leaving my conscience. Well, it's the same thing with your mental health. If you're in a situation to where something's bothering you, don't ever feel like there's nobody you can talk to about it. You have a whole group of almost 7,000 people in our Facebook group that you can sign up and be anonymous if you want. Or you can just build a rapport with several people on there. You could talk to Tracy or myself, or what else can I do, Tracy?
You can also call the crisis hotline at 988, and you can also text 741-741.
It's just 1-4.
What'd I say?
7-4 is 1.
Oh, 741-741.
Either way. All right, Tracy. For those who have ever been to Savannah, you will know that the historic district is pretty much sectioned off into squares. Each one of these squares has a name. That's how you keep them separated, in case you didn't know. Most of these squares have paranormal stories, and probably, I would say, none of them, though, have the amount of stories that Wright Square has.
Oh, why is it so special?
That's a good question, Tracy.
Well, thank you, Jerry.
Well, beneath the large oak trees that actually that are covered in Spanish moss, we've learned a lot about Spanish moss this weekend. I'll tell you some. We're actually going to talk about Spanish moss later.
Okay.
Some, you know, just I think it's interesting tidbits because we mention it so much that we forget that not everybody really knows what that is.
Right.
But anyway, these giant oak trees that are downtown in the historic district, they cover the trees. They're hanging everywhere. But there's also a history of blood being spilled in the area, as you can imagine.
No, I can't imagine.
Well, you won't have to because I'm going to paint a picture for you.
I wonder what it's like to have to mow under that stuff that hangs off the trees.
Why would it be any different than mowing
know.
It's not like it hangs low enough where it's all in your face.
Well, I guess that's true.
Like when you walk through the haunted attractions at Halloween and they had that that camouflage stuff hanging down.
Oh, yeah. You just have to bob and weave. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into some history. Founded in 1773, Savannah has had a reputation for being haunted to almost everybody. Some people call it the most haunted city in America.
Okay.
I put it in the top five. I don't know if it's the most haunted.
Right.
I would consider St. Augustine probably the most haunted, or New Orleans, close tie. But Savannah and Charleston are right there.
All right.
So that's my thoughts on it anyway, for what that's worth, which is pretty much nothing. Wright Square is one of the original four squares to be laid out in the historic district. The other three squares have a much tamer history for whatever it's worth. So the square is framed in by East York Street and East State Street. This was the site of the first white burial ground in Savannah.
Okay.
Because you got to keep in mind it was Native Americans before.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say probably was, so.
Now, at the southwest corner of the square, actually, I said southwest corner, but it actually extends underneath some of the buildings is where the bodies were laid to rest.
Can you imagine just having a big old building sitting on top of you?
No, I can't say that I have.
You'd be trying to push out if you come back to life and you're like, dang, man, this is some heavy dirt.
Stop. Apparently, not all of these souls are resting in peace. Tracy, as we stated in other episodes, Savannah is known as the city that was built on its dead.
Exciting.
It's not surprising that with a nickname like that, that you're going to find a lot of buildings and a lot of roads, even the airport runway, that are built over top of previous cemeteries.
Wow. I hate to hear that, though. You know it?
Well, I do, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so let's learn some history of Wright Square. First of all, it wasn't always named Wright Square. It was originally laid out in 1733, and it was called Percival Square. It was named after John Lord Viscount. He was the Earl of Percival.
Well, never heard of such a thing.
That's crazy talk. He played a big part in the founding of the colony in Georgia that originally had moved over there. In 1763, it was changed to Wright Square to honor Sir James Wright. He was the last royal governor of the province of Georgia.
Well, I wonder if the other guy was mad because they renamed it.
I doubt it. I doubt he cared. He might not even been alive. Who knows? The square has also been referred to as Post Office Square, Courthouse Square, and Hanging Square.
Oh, I wouldn't want to go to that one.
You could probably guess how each one of them got their names.
I think I do.
Since its early colonial days, Wright Square has been a gathering place for the public. This was for several reasons. Obviously, the courthouse was there. They also had monthly auctions, government bonds, and whatever else the public might need. So, Tracy, besides being old, why is it so haunted?
Because a bunch of people died?
That's part of it.
Okay.
There's actually several reasons, and we're going to get into most of them in this episode. So, let's start with the Yamacraw Native American chief, Tomochichi.
Love the name.
It's a cool name.
It is a cool name.
He actually offered peace and wanted to coexist with the early Georgia settlers there.
Mm-hmm.
They would actually share meals together. They would work together. They literally were basically a neighborhood like today.
That's great.
So you had your colonial settlers, you had your Native American tribe there, and they all got along.
It's the way it should be.
When he passed away, he was buried in the center of the square. There was then a stone pyramid that the settlers built to honor Tomochichi. It was Savannah's very first monument.
Oh, what an honor.
But, you knew there was going to be a but.
No.
100 years later, William Washington Gordon died. Now, he was a very prominent and well-respected politician and businessman. He was actually the founder of the Central Railroad and Bank Company. That's kind of an odd thing to have together, the Central Railroad and Bank Company.
Yeah, it is. But you have to do with what you have.
Right. So he brought great wealth to Savannah, and for this reason, obviously, they wanted to make sure that he was honored when he passed away. He was given the honor of a memorial in Wright Square. So what's the big deal? He's a great man. He should be honored. Nothing wrong with that. The problem was to make room.
No, they didn't.
For Gordon's new monument, the city desecrated Tomochichi's grave.
Now that is not cool.
It's not. They unceremoniously removed his remains and scattered his bones around the plot of land. Gordon's monument was designed by architect Henry Van Brunt and Frank M. House. It was completed in 1883.
I mean, didn't anybody have a problem with them taking that first statue down?
Yes, they did. Reservationists, knowing just how unacceptable this was, they decided that they were going to create a new monument made of granite, and it now stands at the southeast corner of Wright Square. The ghost of Tomochichi allegedly still calls Wright Square his home.
Okay.
So if you visit his monument and you run around it three times saying Tomochichi, it's said that his ghost will actually appear, or you'll probably be arrested. So, I don't know that, but you're going to definitely look like an idiot running around a cemetery plot yelling, Tomochichi, Tomochichi, yeah, yeah. Tomochichi.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure people have seen far worse.
Or maybe if you screw it up and don't say it right, maybe a Chi-Chi's will appear.
Oh, that's true. And that wouldn't be a bad thing either.
No, not at all. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he probably won't actually show up. But there are definitely some other spirits that are residing in Wright Square, one of which may be Alice Riley. In December of 1733, Alice and her husband Richard White and 38 other Irish servants barely survived the voyage to America. They spent several agonizing weeks on a ship in turbulent seas and had barely enough food to make it. And not all of them did make it. But that group of 35 made it. And as I said, the ones who did make it were nearly dead of starvation. So when they finally made it to Georgia, Alice and Richard were made to work for a man by the name of William Wise. Now, Wise owned a cattle farm on Hutchison Island, that's right across the river from Savannah. Now, by most accounts, Wise was almost impossible to work for. He was devious and tyrannical. I don't know. Is it tyrannical or tyrannical? I said tyrannical, but I don't know which one it is.
I don't have a clue what it is.
Me either. So we're going to go with tyrannical.
I've never even heard of that word.
Well, you know, like somebody, tyranny, like somebody who's like a dictator.
Oh,
so get this. Every day, he would order a couple of his servants to bathe and groom him.
Well, now. Sounds a little spoiled.
A lot of people
smell like that. Or it just smelled bad. Oh, you beat me to it.
That's good. On March 1st, 1734, William Wise was found dead in his house. His body was discovered on his bed. His head was resting in a large bucket of water with a neckerchief tied securely around his neck.
A neckerchief.
That's what it was back then.
Mm-hmm. It just sounds dumb. So he didn't have his head to comfort him?
He had his head. It was just in a bucket of water.
Oh, but not on his being.
Right. No, he was still attached to it.
Oh.
Yeah, he wouldn't beheaded or nothing.
Oh,
he was just bent over with his head in water.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
He was the first murder victim in Savannah's history.
What? That's so weird to hear that.
It was also discovered, oddly enough, that Alice and Richard were missing.
Uh-oh.
In the spring of 1734, Richard and Alice had apparently had enough. And on March 1st, while grooming Mr. Wise, they grabbed a bucket and held his head down under the water until he drowned. They then fled town, and ironically, they hid out in a town called Hope.
That's not going to fix your problems, no. People.
Eventually, Richard and Alice were caught, and they were both sentenced to death. Richard White was the first person to be hanged in Savannah.
My goodness.
But get this. Just before the time came to hang Alice, it was discovered that she was pregnant with William Wise's baby.
So what happened?
Well, it was reported that she was sexually assaulted by Mr. Wise several times. And this is how the pregnancy happened. The magistrate decided to wait until she gave birth and then hang her.
Oh, man.
So shortly after the birth of the baby, the newborn was actually ripped from her arms. And without further delay, they strung her up on January 19, 1735, leaving the baby as an orphan. Not only that, Alice's body was left hanging from the gallows for 3 days.
Why?
To prove a point.
I bet she tried to hold that baby in as long as she could.
Yeah, it's times like that when you wish you were an elephant, so you had 2 years of gestation.
For real. I mean, did she even get to name the child?
She named it, but I don't think I wrote down what it was. I wanted to say she named it Michael or Christopher, but I honestly don't remember. She did name it, though. So obviously, like I said, they hung her up there for 3 days to kind of prove a point. At the very last moment before the hanging, she maintained her innocence. So who knows what happened? 2 weeks later, oh, I did write the baby's name down. 2 weeks later, the nightmare continued. Her baby, which she named James, passed away as well.
Oh, come on.
They were buried in a plot just off of Wright Square. So the real question here is, were Richard and Alice victims of anti-Irish and anti-Catholicism prejudice? There was a lot of that going on at the time. Were they framed for the murder because of their religion and because of their ethnicity? Tracy, that actually might have been the case, because as it turns out, Thomas Coston, he was the acting head magistrate, was known to often manipulate trial juries to gain verdicts agreeable with his superiority beliefs.
Well, that sucks. So then, basically, that woman and baby died probably for nothing, for something like that.
Well, it's also possible that Richard and Alice did actually kill him, and they finally put a stop to his sexual assaulting of Alice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so if you were married, a married couple, and somebody was sexually assaulting your spouse,
all right,
you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. All right. So, of course, it will not surprise you that Alice is said to haunt Wright Square. She's probably the most famous spirit. After Alice's death, there was all kinds of spooky and devious claims made about her. Most notably, that she practiced witchcraft, or perhaps even some sort of occult activity, maybe on the dark side.
Well, you can't blame her, really. No.
Well, they're saying that that's the way she was to begin with, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Even before all that. In reality, those were just rumors that were kind of started by the Protestant settlers at the time, who were also anti-Catholic. Another rumor was that Alice put a curse on the people of Savannah. Some believe that the residual energy from the curse is why the Spanish moss does not grow on the trees right around Wright Square.
Oh, whoa. How interesting is that?
That's true.
Oh, my.
It's said that the Spanish moss will not grow anywhere that innocent blood has been spilled. It's kind of the old wives' tale, I guess we'll say. I don't know who said that, but it's been said.
Yeah.
All right, as far as Alice's ghost, she'll sometimes show herself to mothers that are carrying infants in their arms. That sounds sweet, but then she attempts to take the babies away from them. That's not so sweet.
No, that's not. That's not nice.
But most accounts, though, have a different take. That take says that her spirit roams the area searching for her baby boy. Her spirit screams and cries as she's searching for her son. But before you can turn around to help her find her baby, her apparition disappears. Very often, tourists have called the Savannah Police Department and reported a woman looking for her child in Wright Square. The officers, who've been around for a while, they know that it's Alice. And although she's dressed in old-fashioned clothing, no one thinks anything about it because of all the guided tours that are going on in that area of Savannah where they wear period clothing sometimes.
Right, right.
So
it's a wonder. I mean, you said the baby died really soon after she
2 weeks
did.
Later.
2 weeks? I guess that's a little longer, but I was going to say if it died that quickly, it's kind of weird that she didn't realize. I mean, I know she's dead, but you know what I'm saying?
That makes it harder to realize.
Well, I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? Since it was kind of so close together.
Right. Alice's ghost has reportedly appeared to more people than any other ghost in the city of Savannah. Alice Riley and Chief Tomachichi are not the only spirits roaming around Wright Square, though. Not all of these have the backstory that Alice has, but still, they're hauntings. One story is about a racist spirit. It's the ghost of a crazy old white lady. In real life, she would walk around with a stick and take a swing at any African Americans walking by.
Well,
not the ghost. That's what she did in real life.
Oh, no.
I could imagine the ghost is probably just as bad.
Well, how rude.
Yeah, apparently. Another sighting was of a man and a woman that are huddled together walking in a rainstorm on the road.
Aww.
But they're dressed in 18th century clothing. It was initially thought that they were extras in a period movie that was being shot there. When the person went to look and see what was going on in their rearview mirror, the couple had amazingly just disappeared from sight.
Oh, that's sweet, though. They were trying to keep each other warm and stuff. That's nice.
The question is, could this have been Alice and Richard?
Oh, hey.
In the spring of 2005, Linda Danig and her daughter visited Wright Square. Now, they were actually leaving the square when the daughter heard some footsteps behind her. She stopped and turned around and didn't see anybody. But as her mother turned around and looked at her daughter, they heard the footsteps again. They continued to walk when all of a sudden, something came up and hit her daughter's backpack. She quickly turned around and snapped a picture. Later, Linda described the picture that her daughter had taken. She said it had a big, white, and transparent, big, round orb in the picture.
Oh, she got lucky.
Or it could have been a big-ass bug. Savannah historian Rebecca Clark talks about her experience at Wright Square. The encounter occurred one night when she was driving by Wright Square. So she picked up, according to her, a ghostly hitchhiker. She said she was walking back to her car, and as soon as she got to the car, she knew something was off. When she opened the car door, she felt a rush of icy cold air gush out of the car. Now, this was extremely odd because, first of all, the car hadn't been started yet, so she didn't have auto start.
Oh.
So there was no air conditioning on.
Not yet.
And it was a steamy summer night in Savannah.
Mm.
But yet cold air came out of the car as soon as she opened the door.
Yeah, that's definitely weird.
She said the car had been sitting for several hours, so there's no way that that heat could have gotten out of the car. She said she felt a presence so strong that she looked behind the front seat to see if someone was actually crouching in behind that seat.
Oh, my God. That is so scary.
And, of course, there was nobody there, at least not physically. So she gets in, she starts the car, and she begins driving. She keeps checking the rearview mirror to see if someone was in the back seat, because she said even though she knew there wasn't, it felt like there was. She actually stops at a red light, gets out of the car for a few seconds to kind of clear her mind. Even though this was not a good neighborhood, she said she actually felt safer out of the car than she did in the car. She gets back in the car. And she said the light changes. She made her way back home. But she never lost that feeling of being watched. Whatever it was that she felt was unfriendly. Once she pulled into her driveway, she gets out of the car as quickly as possible. She gets to the front door, locks up, and runs straight to bed. Rebecca's golden retriever, Bella, runs and jumps on the bed. And after that little freaky car ride, she welcomed the loving attention of her dog. But even Bella was acting a bit odd. She hid under the cover, which was totally unlike her. And that's when it happened.
What?
I knew you'd ask. Down the hall, in the den, every single electrical device went haywire. The TV, the VCR, the stereo, the computer, they all turned on by themselves and began to blast whatever was playing in each one of them. She was so frightened that, and you know, this is a lady who had had several paranormal experiences in the past, but nothing like this. All she could do was just close the bedroom door and try to wait it out. She sure as hell wasn't going to go down there and try to look in there, and Bella wouldn't really...
any help?
Yeah, she was still underneath the blanket, and she was like, well, you know what? The dog wouldn't go down there either, so I'm just staying in bed. Whatever this thing was, not only followed her home, it was now in her home. So the next morning, after the incident, Rebecca woke up. She went to go check on her office, which is where all this stuff was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
She found everything exactly where it should be, and the lights were even off.
No kidding. So it was like a polite thing or what?
I don't know.
I don't want to run up your electric bill. What?
But it was almost as if none of the paranormal events from the night before had ever occurred. But things would change in a few days later when Rebecca had to return downtown. As soon as she opened the door, she again felt whatever this entity was come out. It had been hiding in the car. She felt the same icy blast of air, even though it was another scorcher of a hot day in Savannah. The whole ride downtown, Rebecca made an attempt to speak to the spirit. She figured if anyone saw her talking to the spirit, they would just think that she's just kind of, you know, singing along to the radio or something.
Yeah.
She told whoever it was that she was going back downtown and they could just get the hell out anywhere they wanted. As soon as she gets to Wright Square, she said she felt the entity leave, and that was the very last experience that she had with the entity.
Well, good for her. He just wanted to go back home. He just needed a ride, you know?
Apparently. She was his Uber.
Right.
So, Tracy, this isn't paranormal, but we mentioned earlier about the curse of Alice Riley causing the Spanish moss not to grow. So I started thinking that some of the listeners, obviously, may not know what Spanish moss is. I don't know, because it grows in the South, but it doesn't really grow, I think, up north at all. I think South Carolina might be as far north as it grows. So I thought I would do some educational service here. How do you think about that?
Yeah, let's educate them.
All right. So, Spanish moss is usually found in the coastal South. So, think South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi. All the main states are the main states where you can find it. It's usually found hanging off of limbs of trees. It's not something that grows on the ground. And I know you would think that a plant like this must come from Spain because it's Spanish moss, right? It actually comes from the area that stretches from Virginia to Mexico. I thought I saw a lizard.
Where?
It's that hinge on the door, but I thought it was a lizard.
Oh, geez. Maybe a heart attack.
So anyways, the area from Virginia to Mexico is actually where the Spanish moss comes from. It has been historically tracked all the way back to areas of Central and South America. So why is it called Spanish moss if it's not from Spain? Well, the name actually came from French explorers. They said that the moss reminded them of the beards of Spanish conquistadors.
Oh, my gosh. They were all scraggly? Because that's what it looks like.
Yeah. So the Native Americans told the French that, you know what? The name is actually Itlaocla, meaning tree hair. But the name Spanish moss stuck anyway, and that is why it's called Spanish moss even today. It's also worth noting that Spanish moss isn't actually a moss.
What is it?
It's just a different kind of plant.
Oh.
And we just learned this the other day. Spanish moss was the reason for the first ever car recall, because Henry Ford used it to stuff the seats in his Model Ts. And if you've ever been around Spanish moss, you know there's little bugs and chiggers and stuff all in it. So all these seats of these cars were stuffed with Spanish moss. And people were getting ate up by bugs and stuff. So
on their butt?
That was the, I don't know about their butt. It could have been their back.
I'm sure probably the butt.
The first ever car recall was because of Spanish moss.
Well, I'll be dang.
All right, so let's do this. Let's end on a story that it's from Savannah. It's not a right square story, but I thought it was a pretty cool story. Our subject, we're going to call Jennifer because she wanted to be anonymous. Jennifer says that she had an occurrence in her house, which she had never had before. First, there's some backstory on her house and the surrounding area. She built her house on an empty lot next to her mother-in-law in 2006. Like, that's not bad enough.
Oh, man. That's bad.
That's some Everybody Loves Raymond stuff. Yeah. So the house is built on what was originally farmland. Well, the old farmhouse is actually still there, and it's right next door to the house they built. But before the farm was there, local Native American tribes were in the area, and this obviously was their land originally. Well, she has three very old cemeteries less than a mile away from her house. And shortly after having the house built, Jennifer and her husband had a baby.
Nice. Congratulations. Yeah.
So one evening, Jennifer's husband was trying to get some sleep. Baby's crying. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. So Jennifer stayed upstairs with the baby, and her husband, who we'll call Rick, just because I like the name, he went downstairs and he was sleeping on the couch. He had to be up for work at 4 a.m., so it wasn't really conducive for him to stay upstairs with a screaming baby. And that's the woman's job anyway.
I know you didn't go there, buddy. Because I will punch you all up in your face.
Anyways, he's laying on the couch. He's asleep. And he explains that when laying on the couch, if he looked over to the left, he could see the backyard through this large picture window that they have. And the picture window is actually in the dining room, but he's got a straight shot to be able to see outside. Well, in Savannah, you have some very big thunderstorms in the summer. And sometimes they just pop out of nowhere and they don't last very long. And one of these storms came through. It only lasted for a few minutes. But there was a loud crash of thunder. It shook the entire house. Obviously, this woke Rick up. He sits up quickly on the couch, and he looks out that window, that picture window, and he sees that it's raining, of course, but that's not all that he saw. He saw a Native American woman standing in the yard looking towards the moon. He gets up, he runs towards the dining room window, which he said took every bit of 2 seconds. As he gets to the window, the woman kneels down. She runs her hand across the grass and disappears. He said the rain didn't even seem to even affect her. It's like it almost like it went around her, like she had a force field on her. And he said the clothes that she had on, he had never seen anything like, not even in pictures. So he's not exactly sure, but he did know that she was a Native American. Well, the family has this large vegetable garden out in the backyard. And he said ever since that night, it seems that the area where the Native American woman bent down and kind of ran her hand across, nothing will grow there.
Well, I thought she was going to say just the opposite.
No. Well, Jennifer said that during the last 2 months of construction on their home, they stayed with the in-laws. So they were in a rental home.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens. Then they go stay with the mother-in-law for the last 2 months. She'd been trying to get them to come there for a long time.
Yeah.
And eventually they said, look, it's 2 months. We'll take you up on your offer. Save some money. Well, apparently, according to Jennifer, it just never seemed to feel right over there. They said there was like a negative energy that was constantly surrounding them, so much so that it took a toll on the entire family. They thought it was just the stress of having a home built. But as soon as they left her home and moved into the new house, everything went back to normal.
Oh my gosh.
So, there you go. That's some stories of Wright Square and their ghostesses. And a good one thrown in for measure just from the Savannah story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm glad that things cleared up once they got in their new house. I mean, did the mother-in-law not realize what was happening, or
I don't know,
or she didn't detect anything?
Not really sure. She didn't really get into it.
There you go.
All right, we're gonna take a quick sponsor break and we'll be back with some info. All right, Tracy, we are just shy of 2 weeks away from our Casadega live event.
I can't even believe that's already happening.
Yes, there are a handful of tickets left. Come see us. Casadega is in between Daytona and Orlando. You're 30 minutes from Orlando, 20 minutes from Daytona. Come out, spend the weekend. Our show's early. It's 12 to 3.
That gives you plenty of time.
You'd have the rest of the night to go hang out at the beach. Make a weekend out of it. Come spend Sunday, Saturday. I'd spend some time in Orlando. After you get through, go to Gator World or something. And then you don't want to go to the theme park. That's just a lot of money and a lot of heat.
Very true.
A lot of waiting in lines. But there's a lot of cool stuff to do in Orlando, a lot of good restaurants. And then you can turn around the next day and go to Daytona and spend the time on the beach.
Yeah, and it's beautiful there.
Yeah, and it's going to be probably in the mid to high 80s.
It's supposed to get in the 90s this week.
So don't act like you know what 2 weeks from now to be. We barely
I know just as much as the weatherman does.
That's true. 100% true. But anyway, tickets are still available. $25. It's us and History Goes Bump. I'm telling you, this is a very small venue. You will never get closer to the podcasters than this. In fact, you may be sitting at our table as we're doing the show.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, but that's why we only had 30 tickets available, and 30 is going to feel squished. So we may not sell all 30, which kind of might be a good thing. So if we can fit 25 in there, that might be even a little better, because I think 30 might be pushing it.
Mm.
But some of you might be sitting outside with, glasses up to the wall trying to hear. I don't know. But anyway, come out and see us. We'll have some merch and stuff there. And we're going to have a good, fun time. It'd be good to do a live show. And we're only doing two this year. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Very weird.
Cruise. It's not too late. Jump on. We got a boatload of tickets sold. And the only thing missing is you.
True story about that.
Come out, spend some time with us in Ohio. It's going to be an absolute blast.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, we still got tickets for St. Augustine. Almost half of those tickets are sold already for August 17th.
Good.
Sorry. So, there you go. Have anything. What do you got going on over there?
Well, I do have some iTunes. And I would like to thank all you guys for doing that for us, because it means a lot. We have Win-Win, Mojo Lobster, Josh Turner, 92, Susan Bowman, and Casey Ray. Thank you guys. Oh, no, I think it's Casey Roy. My bad. Thank you all for your reviews. We appreciate them so much, and it really does help us. And our Patreon for this week is Hannah Bassett. Thank you, Hannah. We appreciate you, sweetheart.
Yep, you guys are awesome. Don't forget to check out our YouTube page. Look, there's not a lot on there that you haven't heard. Probably it's all, primarily stuff that we put up, But it really helps us, and it provides an, it doesn't yet, but eventually it's going to provide hopefully another revenue stream for us, which would be nice to make up for the downfall of the economy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we've all been there, so we all feel it. But it would be awesome if you guys could go to the page and subscribe. And even, I know I'm cheating again, but even if you just go to videos and click the like button on it, and if you can leave a comment, even if it just says, hey, thanks, that actually helps get our videos out to more people and helps us grow the channel quicker. That's the hardest thing when you're starting a YouTube channel, and then we've had one for a while, but we've never really executed the way we should. But it's very hard to get it monetized, because you have to have 4,000 hours of watched video in a year's time, and you have to have at least 1,000 subscribers. We got twice that. That part's not there. But we just need people watching the video. And even if you don't watch it, if you're at least commenting on it or something like that, that gets it out for other people to watch, and it still works. So if anybody can do that, we would greatly appreciate it. That's something free you can do to help the show.
Yeah, y'all.
All right, guys, that wraps it up for this week.
Well, I hope y'all have a blessed week, and we look forward to seeing you guys soon.
Absolutely. Love ya.